Yeah, well, good morning, brethren.
Good morning, Bill.
Last time I was up here, I think it was about a month ago, was it? And I talked about being cheerful under trial. Well, I'm continuing with that sort of thing now, because I want to talk about not only the importance of prayer under trial, but also encouragement from other believers while under trial. And that's all of us here. You know, we're giving encouragement, those that ring Richard up or whatever, we give encouragement to other people. Pete and I go down quite frequently to Taste Buds, and there are Christians there, lonely people, and we try and uplift them and give them encouragement. So, you know, there's a time and a place for the importance of prayer, although it does say that we can actually pray any time we want to. But as I said last time, what we mustn't do is ask God to end the trial, because he will only prolong it and probably intensify it. What you've got to ask God is, what do you want me to actually learn from what I'm actually going through? And, you know, we've all got some trials. There's nobody, even non-believers don't have problems. But there's a lovely story here. You remember I told the story last time about Linus and Lucy. And, you know, Lucy said, "Whoa, you know, it's not going to stop raining. The whole earth is going to flood." And Linus said, "No, that's not what the Bible says." And she comes back and says, "Do you know," she said, "isn't it marvellous that you can have sound theology, you know, gives us a comfortable mind and heart." So I've got another story here. Lucy asked Linus what the meaning of life is. Linus says he doesn't know. But, you know, Linus says, well, he says, "I've got lots of problems." So Lucy tries to explain. She said, "Well, look at it this way," she said. "If you're on a cruise ship, does your deck chair face the rear of the ship, where you can see the ship's wake, or does it face the front?" In other words, are you always looking backwards with nostalgia, or are you eager for the future and what it holds? Well, most of us are afraid of the future. I certainly am anyway, because we don't know what it holds. But certain people do, especially explorers. They, you know, they're looking for new horizons, new adventures. And I'm afraid I'm one of those that looks to the past. Terrible, isn't it? Linus thinks for a while, and he replies, and he says, That's a hard one, Lucy," he said. "Tell you the truth," he said, "I don't even know how to put my deck chair up." And I thought, you know, that's most of us, isn't it? We just don't know which way we're going. And I can remember seeing my brother once in France, and he'd had a you know, a few liquid lunches, sure, and suppers. And he was falling about, and to watch him put this deck chair up, it was so funny. And in the end, he just gave up. He left it on the floor and just lay on it. And I thought, oh dear. Anyway, we're all a bit sentimental. Look back to things we should or should not have done. But time moves on, and so do the problems. And these, they never seem to go away. For those of us who are believers, we sometimes wonder if God listens to our prayers and petitions, which is what we just said this morning, isn't it? Because as I said last time, God answers them in his own good time, not ours. So let's go back to being under trial, and most of us have been there or are there now. I'm there, as some of you have been and probably are. But it's nice to know that we can be well briefed with intercessory prayer, and as much as we try to find joy and satisfaction in life, it sometimes eludes us, and we look to a friend to talk things over. Prayer seems to be like a life belt of last resort. You know, even I do that, even now. You think to yourself, grief. No, prayer should be the first thing you do, not the last thing. What a remarkable gift, the sovereign ruler of the universe is always ready to welcome and receive the prayers of anyone who humbles themselves whenever they desire to approach him. Anyway, to what purpose? So the first one is Psalm 83, verse 18, please, Brian.
Psalm
83, verse 18. Let them know you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Can you do the King James Version for me, please? Can you swap over or not?
Right.
Doesn't matter if you can't. It's just that all the quotes here I've done for the King James.
KJV.
Ah, good man. Right. Men may know thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. In Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15. And this one's quite interesting, because if you can't think of anything to pray about, this one always falls back and never fails. And as you can see, it's the Lord's Prayer. So we won't go into that. Let's go on to the next one then. John 14, 13 to 14. John 14. Thirteen to 14. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, sometimes this happens instantaneously. Sometimes, as I said, it doesn't. And we have a Christian brother in Taste Buds. And he's a firm believer in speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you haven't received the Holy Spirit. But you see, that was put in for the young Christians in those days to prove that God had actually given them, if you like, the Holy Spirit. Jesus never spoke in tongues, or at least there's no record of it. Today, I can remember telling one of my friends, how do I prove there's a God? I said, well, just, you know, next time you want a parking place, say, Lord, I need a parking place, I need it now. This friend of mine came back a week later, said, it works, it works. I said, what does? She said, you told me to ask for parking places. I said, yeah. She said, I asked for 6 parking places this week and I got them straight away. I said, well, what do you reckon? Yeah, she said, God is real. And I thought, well, you know, that's the modern day version, if you like, of speaking in tongues. Well, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. So anyway, John, 1 John now. 1 John 5:14. But again, as you see here, it's got to be according to his will. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and those are important words, according to his will. You know, sometimes we tend to leave that out. There's always that element of doubt that creeps in. Has God heard my prayer, or does he really listen? It's got to be according to his will, as I said before. One thing I've learnt is that God does like to involve himself personally in our requests. After all, he is a giving God of love. He likes to give us things, but it's just like children. You know what children need, but you prefer them to ask you first, because it gives you a bigger, oh, what can I say, I'm lost for words, you know. It sort of gives you a bigger boost in actually being able to actually give the child what the child requests, although you still know the child wants it. Rather than discourage us, he exhorts us to pray incessantly. Persevere in prayer. Throw your burden on the Lord. And we've got a few verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17, 18, 19. There we are. Pray without ceasing. 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 18. Quench not the Spirit. I think we've left one out, haven't we? Or did we have 18?
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah, 18.
In everything give thanks.
Right, okay, sorry.
Quench not the Spirit.
Yeah, quench not the Spirit.
And this was not prophecy.
Romans 12, verse 12. Are we going to keep you busy this morning, Brian? We've got to be patient in tribulations and constant prayers. And rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in prayer. So, you know, these things do last a long time, even in Paul's day. Psalm 55, verse 22. This is quite an interesting verse. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And the thing is, it's difficult not to be moved, is it? Or to give in, especially if you are under tremendous pressure. 1 Peter 5. Verses 7. And then verse 6. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, these are all verses that we already know, but it's, you know, it's good to remind. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Of course, we come back to this being humble again all the time, don't we? And of course, this is God's doing, not ours. If God did not want to give attention to his servants' prayers, he would never have arranged for such access to himself and encouraged free use of it. Which is quite interesting, isn't it? Anyway, this reminds me of another story in the Bible about Zacchaeus. And if you like, this is a bit of an interlude now. This is a story I gave to Stowe Park some time ago. And the point I'm trying to make is, you know, who would like to meet the Queen? Yeah? Well, it's a long shot. You might get invited to a garden party, as my brother was once. You might be likely enough to speak to her, as my brother didn't. At one time, she was queen of a quarter of the world's landmass. Or was it Victoria? I can't remember now. Probably Victoria, I expect. Anyway, imagine waiting for that long, 2 or 3 hours in this garden party, just to say a few words to her, and that's your lot. She doesn't know your name, she doesn't know where you live, she doesn't know anything about you. But we are so privileged, we have immediate access to the King of the Universe at any time we want. We can enter into his throne room and he will hear what we have to say. Well, I do a lot of moaning. I don't know about some of you. I do complain quite a bit. Okay. Anyway, we're allowed to do this because it does say, you know, pray if you've got anguish. Pray for thanking or requesting. It doesn't matter which. Anyway, let's get to, if you remember the story of Zacchaeus. Anyway, it's Luke 19, verses 1 to 9, if you want to put that up. there he was. He heard that Jesus was coming along from Jericho. Jericho is about 5 miles outside Jerusalem, so it isn't too far. Everybody had heard about Jesus now, because of course he was doing all these miracles. And if you keep going verse by verse, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who was and could not. Am I in the way there, Tony?
That's all right. Yeah.
And could not for the press of the people, because he was of little stature. Well, a friend of mine was quite small, and I went to see a concert in Newport, and Van Morrison was there singing. And I said to him afterwards, I said, Birdie, I said, I've actually met somebody who's shorter than you. Woo! His heckles got up, and I thought, oh, I've pressed the wrong button here. But he is Van Morrison's quite a short guy. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, because he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for this day I must abide in your house. Now you just imagine the queen now, coming along, everybody knows she's coming, and she suddenly stops and gets out and says, Hugh Jenkins, you're going to come with me and have a meal. You think, how does she know my name? That's amazing. But of course Jesus knew his name. So he came down, he received him joyfully. And he went to the house, and everybody said, woohoo, hey, he's gone to be with a sinner. Why? Because the guy was, well, we'll find out what he was doing anyway. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus could see, if you like, that things are not based on material goods. He now became a follower of Christ. Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this house, for as much as he was also son of Abraham. Wow, that's quite an interesting little story, that, isn't it? We are Jesus actually coming along, calling you out by name. Yeah. Anyway, there are some other proofs that God listens to our prayers. Let's have a look at 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And again, it's going to be in line with God's will. Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. So there's David crying out to the Lord. Psalm 65 verse 2. It says almost the same thing. O thou that hearest prayer unto thee, shall all flesh come. So while the act of praying doubtless benefits in itself, Scripture shows that much more is involved. When a righteous person prays, someone is listening. In other words, the controller of the universe. And of course we're all quite familiar with James 5 verses 16 to 18. James 5 16 to 18. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that he might not rain, and he rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. 18. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And again, as I said about, a child asking you for something, God can do it in his own time, but he likes to be asked and requested, and this is what you know, this is what Elijah did. There's more proof of prayers that are heard and are answered. When confronted by Absalom's conspiracy to usurp the kingship of Israel, King David prayed this particular prayer. Now, I don't know whether we ought to be doing this today, but 2 Samuel 15, verses 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And in fact, one of my close friends said, he said, I'm going to pray that prayer. He said about, you know, your opposition solicitors. You know, he said, I'm going to actually pray that your solicitor will totally devastate now anything that's coming from the other way. But as I say, I'm not really sure that that's right. Anyway, if we look at 17 verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel of Ahithophel, I don't know how you pronounce that, hath given is not good at this time. So you've got an answer there. But of course, you know, Absalom wanted to believe what the, you know, the wise man prophet said. 16 verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which counsel in those days was, as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Now we're talking about Absalom asking for him now. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now, if you analyse that, in other words, it was in David's favour. And of course, Absalom liked what he heard. So, you know, they were both happy about it. So we go back to chapter 17, verse 14. Okay, David then finally gets an answer to his prayer. And it shows it can be done. But again, it's up to God and his will, isn't it? And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So, you know, he's quite aware of right from wrong and who are doing what to whom. Similarly, we've got Hezekiah being delivered of his terminal illness. He recovered to live another 15 years, if you remember. You'll find that in 2 Kings chapter 20. This was simply because of the... This was not because of the psychological benefits as a result of having prayed. Okay, so he didn't feel good with his prayer. It was actually answered. 2 Kings 20. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and live not. Next verse, up to 6. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, he must have been bad, the very fact he was actually lying down and praying. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle of court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. You know, he got a terminal illness 3 days later. There he was, he was praising God in the temple. Just shows it can be done. not a problem for God at all. And we got other examples here. If we have a look at Daniel 9, verses 20 to 27. We've actually got Daniel being administered by the angel Gabriel. Now, where does he appear in the Bible? Well, of course, he announces the birth of Christ, doesn't he? So we do have the names of certain angels. Daniel 9:20. Whilst I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel, presenting supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. 21 to 27. Yea, whilst I was speaking a prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. The beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. Make reconciliation for iniquity and bring an in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most High. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not of himself, and the people of the prince shall come, shall surely destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. That determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we find that again in Revelation. He's talking about the end time there. But Daniel was wondering about it, so of course it was, you know, explained to him fully. Daniel, whose prayer was answered later than he may have expected, was certainly assured, you know, by the angel that your works have been heard. The prayers of others, such as Hannah. Remember Hannah with Samuel in the temple? Well, that's Samuel 1, verses 1 to 20, but you needn't turn to that. I'm going to have to sit down, folks. I'm not feeling too good. That's better. Cornelius's prayers were answered in ways that cannot be credited to human ability alone. We turn to Acts 10, verses 1 to 48. And again, you know, that's quite a long series there. If you remember, Cornelius was praying, and he actually was in a vision, was told, you know, go to Joppa. There you'll find a man, and at the same time Peter had this dream about unclean foods, and he sent out two servants, and Peter said, oh yeah, so I'm expecting you. So they took him back to Cornelius' house, and when Peter was actually giving a testimony, he was totally amazed that everybody actually received the Holy Spirit. Peter suddenly realised now that the gospel now was being actually sent out to the Gentiles. We have a look at Acts 10:34. Well, I've just done that. It's been sent out to the Gentiles. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In those days, of course, early Christians' answer to prayers was mainly spiritual, not spectacular or powerful acts as they had been when the day of Pentecost happened. Let's have a look at Colossians 1 verse 9. There we go. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, out of desire that ye might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So again, we're talking about spiritual understanding. Things now have gone away from the physical, and of course, since we're into grace, of course, everything now is into the spiritual. Anyway, over the years, I've learned to be disappointed if my prayers are not always answered the way that I expected or preferred. And then we come back again to going through a trial. As I said before, don't ask the trial to be removed, but it can be doubled and last longer. Ask what you're supposed to learn from it. I don't know whether anybody saw the telly last night, but Roald Dahl's story was on there. And it was so sad because he had a daughter who had measles, and eventually turned to meningitis and she died. He also had a son called Theo who had a brain tumour, and although he was up and down to the Great Ormond Street Hospital, the shunt, or the valve in the shunt that drained the fluid from the brain into the stomach, kept on blocking. So Roald Dahl and one of his friends, who was an engineer, actually invented the shunt, which is actually being used today on anybody who's got excess fluid in the brain. So, you know, the good does come out of evil sometimes. Because that's quite interesting, isn't it? We have a look at 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 6 to 9. Paul here actually, you know, shows that there are wonderful words of encouragement that we can actually get. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 9. The God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So it's always God's doing. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's easy to say, isn't it? You know, but if you're actually going through something like this, it's very difficult to sort of, you know, take those words on board. Yeah, let's have a look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. Let's see what Paul has to say to Timothy. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And that's, you know, that's quite interesting, isn't it? Now the gospel, of course, is going to the Gentiles. But never should we minimise the value of such power, nor should we conclude that God, our loving Father, did not really answer our prayers at all. Probably the greatest example of this is the case of Jesus. In this concern not to die such a horrible death on the cross, he prayed, Father, if you wish to remove this cup from me, you can do. Was this prayer heard? God did not relieve Jesus, his son, from dying. Instead, an angel came to strengthen him. Let's have a look at Luke 22, verse 43. Luke 22:43. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Now, I never noticed that before. You know, that's quite interesting, isn't it? And what's even more interesting, of course, is the fact that Jesus actually coming from heaven, he obviously wouldn't be frightened of an angel, as you or I would be. He, knowing Jesus, he probably, you know, would even know the angel's name. But of course his father actually sent the angel. And of course we've got the example of Luke 2 verses 8-15. The shepherds in the field. The angel came to them. They were absolutely terrified, weren't they? There they were in some country, the shepherds abiding in the field. And lo, the Lord, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Well, I'm pretty sure I would be as well. Right, in today's climate, when going through a trial, God frequently gives us the needed strength to endure, the form of support and encouragement from other fellow worshippers. That's why we all meet here, isn't it, brethren? You know, it's very good to actually meet together. And as you know, I go to church on a Sunday as well. I go to three other churches on a Sunday. Sometimes, not always. But let's have a look at Hebrews 10, verses 24-25. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Well, this is why we meet together, to encourage one another, isn't it? But, you know, you get blessings out of the strangest situation. Well, Jesus accepted the encouragement of the angel, who gave him, even though the angel would never experience what Jesus would have to go through, we should accept graciously the strength that God gives in answer to our prayers and remember that such periods of patient endurance are often followed by untold blessings. Now, you've heard me talk about my friend Pat. I've been, you know, sort of trying to woo Pat for, you know, for 45 years. I should have married her 45 years ago when I was engaged, but like an idiot, you know, I backed out. But after my heart attack, Pat was the first one on the scene there. Again, you know, I love Pat to bits. But God actually blessed me with something else. He actually sent along her three daughters. And they've been an absolute strength and a support to me, especially in the last couple of years. I know I can go there any time, because when I first came back from Barbados, again, my catheter was blocked the day I came home. I went to, I got Julie actually to take me to the Royal Gwent Hospital, and I was there for quite a few hours. It was 9:45 by the time I saw a doctor, so I was there from 3:30 to 9:45. And when I came out, it was tipping down with rain, blowing with wind, and I said to Julie, I said, I don't fancy going back home. She said, you're not. She said, I'm taking you, my sister, Kirsty's. And, you know, I feel quite moved now. And you think, well, you know, this family have shown such love to me, which my own family would never have done. And I've got the youngest one, Leanne. She's always around. You know, she comes cleaning. She called in and went and got my prescriptions. And you think, what a blessing I've got. You know, so out of tragedy, you do find the things do turn around and you get some really, really good, you know, gifts coming in.